Okay, we're taping. Today is February 2nd. This is the history and development of the Haggadah. Okay, just to review, last class, the origins of the Haggadah. So, we went through the overview of the Malbim, where the main section of the Haggadah, called Magid, is nothing but an elaboration on the six parts of that pasuk. It goes from Palat Ma'anya all the way down to Hallel. Right? And we discussed Menachem Kasher's article, as well as the few pages that appeared in Encyclopedia Judaica, about the main sections of the Haggadah that are found elsewhere in rabbinic literature. I did make up the copy of the Four Sons, but I think we're going to get to that on Thursday. Lining up the Four Sons in the Mechilta, Yushalmi, the Haggadah, and of course the Pesukim in the Torah. It seems some amazing contrasts. It's interesting that the Talmud Bavli does not have any reference to the Four Sons. Okay, so some of what's written in the Talmud Yushalmi is so different than what appears in the Haggadah. Oh, thank you. That would be very helpful. As to render some of what I said last class downright incorrect. It's just that I'm disagreeing with the Yushalmi. And say, what gives you the right to do that? Well, I'm not the one who said that the Tom meant pure and not simple. A very famous problem with Yerushalmi is that the names of the four children in Yerushalmi are Chacham, Rasha, Tipesh, and Shemar Delisha. Tipesh, not Tom, but it's Tipesh. Now you know what Tipesh means, right? But that reiterates my very question. Why would Tipesh and Shemar Delisha? Come on. Why would I? I mean, they're too close together. I'd rather have Russia and Tom, immoral. Chacham Shemar Delisha, wise and unwise. All right. Okay, and I. When we get up to the Four Sons in the Magid section, I'll explain why I'm so insistent on that, even in spite of what's written in the Yerushalmi. Okay, and the Mechilta, of course, which is the Medrash Halacha Tashmos, has in Kashas Po also a description of the Four Sons. Another interesting thing the Yerushalmi does, but I caution you: Yerushalmi is often in its version a corruption of its original source. You know what I mean by that? A corruption, I don't mean that something criminal. It means something got mistaken. Okay? The Yerushalmi was completed a good 100 years before the Talmud Bavli, so it didn't really have a chance to develop as much. And Yerushalmis often need to be corrected. That's why it's very hard to just learn a straight text of Yerushalmi. Now, Art Scrolls is coming out with some very good Yerushalmi work, where on every page gives you the 7 or 8 or 12 different schools, and the Vilna Gaon's corrections, and the Yefemari's corrections, and because Yerushalmi really, really gets things mixed up sometimes. And if you read, the general printed text of Yerushalmi, and then you think you've mastered the sugya, and then you find out that a few simple words change around the whole mahos of the sugya. So I'm just giving you a quick example now. The answer that the Yerushalmi gives to the Tipesh is Ein Matir Nachar Pesach HaPikom. You recognize that, right? That's the answer we give the Chacham in the Haggadah. What kind of answer is that, anyway? We say, don't eat anything after the HaPikom? What kind of answer is that? So on this we might have to correct the Girsa of the Haggadah. Right? Because it says Af Atah Emor Lo Ki Hilchos HaPesach. The Ritva's version is Af Atah Emor Lo Kol Hilchos HaPesach Ad Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Avikom. We'll look into all those Girsas. But Kol HaPilchos HaPesach, you know what Mishnah starts off? Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Avikom. What do you think? Based on this Ritva. The last mission of Psachim. In other words, his kid is very curious. He's able to teach him a Masechet Psachim. That's it. If he's young, the Mishnah. Maybe if he's older, teach him the Gemara. Go through Masechet Psachim with him. That's what it's all about. It's all about the practice. That's the answer you give the Tibesh. Right? And what's the Chacham's answer? What a great question. Really? You see when they switch? They switch. Okay. Okay. All right. So that's what we did. The week number one we did last time. Origins of the Haggadah. We looked in the places that are in the Mechilta. Harvei Pesachim, Yushalmi, where different parts of the Haggadah are mentioned. I must insist when we get to later, March, there are some parts later in the Haggadah which really veer off. I'm talking about opening the door and saying something. It's in the Middle Ages. It's in the 1500s, 1600s. There are somewhere different things to say when you open the door. It wasn't so posh that you said Shalom Moshe. Now they won't even open the door. Right? Where did it ever come that we were inviting Eliyahu HaNavi at that time? What's that all about? Okay. So we'll see some very interesting minhagim of why it continues, things of that sort. But that's for later in the semester. Okay. As you see if you're looking at the front page, the first 12 items are until the meal, just the last three, Shvoch HaMasa, Afikoman, and the final songs. Okay. Jack, you see how they use the front page here? All these numbers here, 4, 2. And all of those are in that very chaveret you're holding on to. You represent the top four sources. These numbers here, so that's two, that means that it's from me. Those pages. Those two pages that are in, it's all in the Chaver. Okay. So that means today, we have Talmudic sources. Okay, I gave you the overview of that. Let's look at chapters 2 and 3 in Menachem Kasher. This is taken from what's called the Torah Shlema. Okay. You see what I'm doing? It says Perek Sheni. Matchil Vignus. You know what I mean? There's a 19 at the top of the page. Okay, here's the problem. In some girsas of Psachim, it's Rav and Shmuel, some it's Rav and Abaye. And that goes down to the core of, I think, what we left off at the very end of last class, is that the machlokes of how do you matchil bignus, whether it's matchil of the Avod Zara or whether it's Avodim Hayinu. Disparagement. Start the Seder saying bad things about our history. And how far we've come. Right? We're nothing without Hashem, and look how far we've come. Right? Okay, so the Talmudic sources are whether it's Rav and Shmuel and Rav and Abaye, I gave you the Nafka Mina's last class, there's no reason to elaborate now. Because usually we paskin like Shmuel, only in monetary issues, but in Haggadah we seem to be paskinning like him. How? Because we start off with Avodah Mayinim and then we say Mitzchilo of Devodah Zarah afterwards. I would have thought for Karen, just for chronological reasons, Mitzchilo of Devodah Zarah is before Avodah Mayinim. Mitzchilo of Devodah Zarah starts from Terach. By the way, just so you should know, again, it's in Maggid, so we're going to see it straight through. But Mitchilo of Devodah Zarah Yerusalem, I'm so at the end of Sefer Yahushua. Yahushua is about to enter they enter the land where he's about to die, and he's leaving his parting words with Nei Yisrael. He says, "Look how far God has taken you. He kept all his promises to you, and let me tell you about our very humble origins." And he goes back to Terach, not even Tav. He goes back to Terach. See a lot of diukim in that paragraph when we get to it. All right, so take a look at. Let's turn the next page, which is page 20, and you see that Kasha was working with seven different tisbeyot, two from Munich that were kept in Munich, the extracted collection. One was a Taimani ksaviyad. One was an Egyptian ksaviyad. You see another gimel. One was another Minchan, another Munich, Ksavyad. One is another Taimani one, a Vatican, Ksavyad Vatican, number one, and Bodleian. Bodleian is a library in Oxford. Okay. These are various museums and libraries where these ancient Kisvayad Haggadahs have been preserved.
And oh, it's Vatican.
Vatican has everything. This Kisveyad of the what are you saying here? I think that he's using these are Kisveyad of the Gemaras. Okay.
So how long?
And it says because oh.
How long ago?
Like
how old are they?
Middle Ages. They always have dates on them, but he doesn't give them. Yeah. Okay. So it says Matzchil Biknus in the sign of Shabbos, page 21. My Biknus, Rav Amar Mitzchila Ofti Avodas Kibulim Biguad Hasein Ushmul Amar Avodim Hayim. So Amalei Rav Nachman Madar Abed. Nachman said to his Ebed, who was Ebed Knani, after the Mafik Le Mari Lecheris, if a slave is removed from his master's domain to freedom, V'yoyim Le Kaska V'davon, he gives him silver and gold. My boy Lemimar, like, what would you tell such a master? Amalei, boy Ba Uduyu L'Shmuchei, I would have to thank him and praise him. Omar Lay Patarton ni Omar Manishama. Pasak Omar Abuti Mayiku. Really? Is that true? You would be putter? Felt something, you putter? No. What he means is that's the essence of Manishama. If you want the children to be curious about what's doing, what's happening differently, so that they move to the ultimate purpose of the Haggadah, which is Lahodos to Lahodah El Shabayah, Lahodah El Rabin. Okay. This is later in the Mishnah. Masnis, see Rabbi Gamliel, Le Omer. Kol Shalom, Har Shloshes, Rai Meir, Lutesa, Lo Yatzer Yedeh, Lo Tso, Le Yomim, Pesa, Matzim, Mar. All this is in the mission. All the Hador of Chayav Adam, the Rosh Hashanah, Ki Luhu Yatzam in Mitzrayim, Shnimar Migad Tzal Mitzchah Ben Mordei Morba, Hu Zer Asar Shem Ni Betzesim in Mitzrayim. Leficha, Hador Zalel, and then we say Hallelujah. Right? Okay, and the Rav and Rav Chizda have a discussion of how much they should say. Okay. All right, now, what the next few pages try to indicate, page 24, 25, the next two pages, page 24 and 25, try to show what is the extent of the dispute between Rav and Shmuel, or Rav and Eli. Do each preclude the opinion of the other? And if they agree, it's just the machlokes, just a question of which one should be said first? Is the Baal HaGadah trying to be l'chol ha-deos and just say, okay, we'll do Rav here, we'll do Shmuel there. We'll do Shmuel here and then we'll do Rav there. How far back do you have to go? And then we have the fundamental question, why doesn't the HaGadah go further back first? Let's read the sheet of the Rambam, page 24. That our ancestors in the time, you see what the problem of the Rambam is already? We do Avodim Hayinu first, right? So what does he say? We have to show that in the days of Terach, we were Kofrim, we didn't believe in Hashem. Umesayim v'das ha'emes, shekirvonu ha'makom lo, v'hivdilonu me'ha'umos, v'kirvonu li'yichudo. Now, next quote, number three, I ask, we conclude with praise. How do we conclude with praise? Messiah bin B'Shevach. It's okay, the end of the Seder seems to be filled with Shevach of Hashem. But we're not talking about the Gnus of Hashem, we're talking about our Gnus. So it must be our Shevach. What is the Shevach that we are concluding with? We'll get that quite yet, but let's continue with what we're doing. So he says, Messiah B'Das Ha'emes. Now this is Messiah bin B'Shevach. And we have to conclude by showing that now we have the true religion. Shekirvonu amakom lo, v'hivdilonu me'ahumos, v'kirvonu li'yichudo. He gave us a Torah and he built up a Sinyom. He told us to build a base of Mikdash. It sounds like the end of the year. V'chei maschil modiyah she'avodim ha'inu l'paro v'mitzrayim. So now, you see, he tries to fix this. He writes, v'chein, you see what it says? Maschil u'modiyah she'avodim ha'inu l'paro v'mitzrayim. See the words? Begin by saying we were slaves to Paro. The Chol Ha'ro'a Shegomalnu Misayim Nisim V'Niflal Shnasu Lanu B'Cheruseinu. Right? Seems to be like a steer in the Rambam. But you see what, in essence, what is he trying to do? He's trying to make peace between the two opinions of the Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel. But he's mixing pickles. What? Which is which? And he says, Maschil, V'chein Maschil. So if he says, V'chein Maschil, why not start this halacha with this statement? Why did you start with Terach? Obvious reasons, Terach is before Avodim Hayinu. Okay, let's read his comment. V'yesh l'faresh dvarav b'shnei ofanim. Let's explain the Rambam in two ways. This is now Menachem Kasher talking. Aleph, shesover sheham man de'omar ha'sheni, Eino chelak el harishon el lahosif ba. Shacharei mitchila yesh lomar gam avodim hayinu. So this is the first thing the Rambam is trying to do. I just said that. The Rambam is trying to make peace between the two Amoraic positions. Now we can finish this column. V'yesh lo habi raya l'feirush zem minusach ha-geniza. In chapter 21, he shows a perush that he found in the Cairo Geniza, which was the Rambam's hometown of Fostat, Cairo. And he found the Haggadah where Avodim Hayinu is not right after Manashah. It's right after the 10 plagues. Right? So So if Mitzilo Devo Zara, Yuva Hosseinu comes first, and then is Avodim Hayinu. Okay, we pass in that Rav, and we're going in order. Okay? So, right? Base, third line from the top. With me?
Yeah,
it says, Shahiu Humifaresh, Shamara Marchada, Umara Marchada, Lopliki. Mar means Rav, says Mitzilo Devo Zara. Shmuel Mar says, he's just telling the minhag in his place. Wow. He says you don't need to say both to fulfill your obligation. And our custom and our seders say, oh, it's just because one of the yotzei l'chol adeos. The Haggadah is a collection of all kinds of traditions. All over. Right? Who put in the Mishnah and Brachos of Ever Elizabeth Azaria saying, Kol Yimechi Echa Olav? That's not original. That's just placed in later. It's not original for the Haggadah.
Right?
What do you mean?
Who put in these things randomly over time?
Yeah. I'm going to show you in chapter 21 all these different Haggadahs with it.
And we have to recite every single thing.
It's all right. Okay. You'll see it. Same on the Haggadah. It's going to have different things. No, we've pretty much got things pretty recognizable. They've become similar in the last hundreds of years. But we show some ancient Haggadahs in the time of the Gaon. The things are very different.
Was it shorter then or something? Different?
Yeah, mostly shorter. And now we've combined a lot of different ones. Yeah, that's coming later. Okay. So that this means Peloshim Rambam V'chein Maschil Perusho Omasil. You can say Mitzchilo Bivazar, or you can say Avodim Hayim. Klamar Shemikar Adin Yotze Bachas Mehen V'yesh Lohabi Raya L'zem Peloshim Sifra Manik B'shim Rav Natrunai. This is what I just got put in the bed to talk to you. Is that Sefer Mani, it's an Ashkenazic collection of Minhagim, in the name of Rav Natrunai. You familiar with the name? That's one of the Gaonim, Osad Gaonim. He says, Chazal Amru, Matchil B'Genus, U'Mesayim B'Shvach, U'Peirush Genus, Avodim Hayinu, U'Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zara, V'Kein Kosav Rabbeinu Yerucham, U'Maschil B'Genus, Klomar, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zara, V'Chein Avodim Hayinu. He quotes two different opinions, and he gives them down in the opposite order. First one he says, Avodim Hayinu, and then Mitzchila, and the second order he gives Mitzchila, and then Avodim Hayinu. You see from all of this, that the way our Haggadah does it, with Avodim Hayinu is the answer right after the Manishtana, and the Mitzchila de Avodah Zarah sometime later. Stop, doctor. Look at the Gam HaRa'av. Ra'av is Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, that's a parish to the Mishnah. The Mishnah of Foresh, get this. Matchil beginus mitchila ovdi avodah zara hiu avoseinu ve'avodim hayinu. That's the Bar Tanura, that's the 16th century, for goodness sakes. And look what he says, right? How do we fulfill matchil beginus? Okay, we say mitchila ovdi avodah zara and avodim hayinu. How would you explain such a thing? Because it's obvious. Mitchil ovdi avodah zara is before. It's from Terah. So why do we say Avodim Hayinu first? I would just give a Balabatish answer. That's the pasuk in the Torah. Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah is the pasuk in Yeshua. If I'm going to answer a boy's question about what's going on in Yisrael and Mitzrayim, I prefer an answer that's in the Torah. Agree? Mm-hmm. Right. Avodim Hayinu L'Farav Mitzrayim and etc. Are the words of the Torah right after the question of that the Chacham asks in the four sons? Right? That's what's written in Parshas Vayeshlach. Okay. But we see from all these, I have riots from 7-8. From Gaonim down to the parish of the Bar Tanura. And there's lots of good order here. But if you're gonna give me a a hierarchy of which one to mention first. They're equal. But Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah is chronologically earlier. Avodim Hayinu was a pasuk in the Torah and an answer to something that appears right there in the Haggadah, the Chacham's question. Okay? All right. Okay, so Umashan Shagaonim. Look at how Kasha continues. Umasha Gaonim Ravamram Rav Sadia Sidru Benusach Hagodah Shalahem Esapiska Avodimeinu Lifnei Piskas Mitchila Yivur Lahalan Shazel Kishaben Shoel Kidarko Shalolam Oz Vachulei Al Mahamitzva Avodimeinu Mikodem Velo Pligi Ela Kishashola La'atzma. Wow. Okay. You see what he's saying? He's saying when you have children asking questions at the table, you have to give the answer the Torah gives to that question. He's making a nice cute thing. Everyone who asks a question at the Haggadah is a Chacham. So give him the answer. The Torah gives the Chacham. Right? So that don't be so surprised. You know, if you open up the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah, at the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, in the Mishnah Torah, writes Vizehu Nosuch HaHagodah. In the Mishnah Torah, and in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, Nosuch HaGodah, Avodim Yehuda comes first, which the Oilam says that contradicts what he just wrote. He says Mitzchila first. Kasher gives some terutzah to this that it depends on either A, Bisman HaBayis, when they were eating the Korban Pesach, or today when they're not eating the Korban Pesach, or Nachkamina, whether there's a kid asking the question or you're just adults speaking amongst themselves. If a kid's asking a question, do Avodim Hayinu first. If it's adults just talking amongst themselves, you have to start with Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah. Now, these are nice fancy answers, but all right, the Gemara was reticent about it. Shouldn't the Gemara have mentioned these things? Wouldn't it make sense for after Rav and Shmuel, for some of the Talmidim to say, we heard Rav and Shmuel say in Shir that their opinion is only when Zman HaMikdash, or when there's someone asking questions, or, right? Wouldn't it make sense for some Talmidim, maybe Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both of them, to qualify what that machlokes is? Why should it be up to Rishonim, maybe Gaonim, or anyone else to answer?
Alright.
Okay.
So is Gemara
answering
that question?
I'm leaving it. You know, just that happens a lot of time in the Gemara, where the Gemara you felt could have been a little more forthcoming in directing the discussion. Right. What can I say? I'll give an example. Give a quick example, if you don't mind. The Rambam says that women have to cover their hair. Bein penuyu, bein nisuyu. Whether she's married or whether she's single. Now the Rambam knows how to say divorced and widowed women. But no say Caleb say that he didn't mean single women. No, single women don't cover their hair. He means a single woman who's divorced and widowed should still cover her hair. Right, the you can object. Wait, Rambam knows how to say that. Say Grushin and an Almona. Right? So okay.
The Rambam says a single woman who's not married doesn't have to cover her hair, right?
Yeah, there are no places where single women are covering their hair.
Right.
So what? Why did the Rambam write? What did he mean? You know, I'm just going to give a quick example that just ran into my head. Is why would a Rishon say something that's so nebulous? Be more clear what you're saying. Okay, Gemara did that too. Sometimes it's left to the commentaries to qualify what Rav and Shmuel meant. Right? Okay. All right, okay, so we have a good picture of what matchilin v'gnai means. All right, and that's the matzah and the maror, and the shevach is reclining and, you know, and dipping and drinking. And, in other words, we're starting the night thinking slavery, and we're ending the night thinking freedom. That's really what's so debilitating to the child. Make up your mind, are we doing slavery or are we doing freedom? Which one? The answer, of course, is both. Okay? Because the more you recognize where you came from, the more thankful you should be about where you are. Alright? Good? Okay? Are we okay with number two? Alright? Now, when it says we conclude with praise, can we let's turn to the Encyclopedia Talmudit. In the Encyclopedia Talmudit, you have...
Which page?
It's 187. Kuf Pei Zayin. See the top of the page says Kuf Pei Zayin. No, the other, it's on the other side. The other, yeah, it's behind those pages. Keep going until you see Kuf Pei Zayin. You got it? It's Hey, Hanusach. Al Hanusach HaKabua Shel Hagoda. Would anybody like to read? Mr. P, would you like to read?
Okay. Al Hanusach HaKabua Shel Hagoda Amur Mishnah. My third is the sign of Shvach. The Doresh may
Doresh means that don't just read it like the rest of Haggadah, but we actually Doresh. That's what I think I wrote on the board last class. The Sifrei, to those who came in Parshas Kisavah. The Droshes. Right? And it's incumbent upon us when we get to that part, which is number six, order of Magid, which is the bulk of these numbers, is we're going to explain why Ya'anunu means this. Why, all these words. What is it? Being Yad Chazakazu Hadefer. Why? Why different more than any other play? So that's Doresh. Go ahead.
Ashi Marko Parsha.
We finished that. Those psukim in Parshas. The Lashon of the Rambam. Good. This is just reviewing what we just did.
No,
but that was the Abudraham, remember? He quotes the Abudraham here. Good. Yushalmi.
Yushalmi,
at the end of Yeshua.
Yeah.
Allah.
Allah.
You know what this is. This is because, he quotes from Natra Nigon that we just read before, because the Karaites were doing that. The Karaites also want to tell the story of Pesach. Right?
Just in the Torah without Tarshish.
Right. So they didn't like the need of drash. So the Trinai was doing this as an anti-Karaite polemic that he was writing. Fine. But what he's just saying is that this is a crucial, essential part of Magid, of Mitzchili of the Zohar Yoseinu, and he seems to side with the opinion that these Zemurim are in agreement. And we don't have to elaborate on that further. This is simple enough. Okay, alasiu mishpach. So let's answer number three now. Number three, we conclude with praise. What is that? Alasiu mishpach shamru b'mishnah nechaku rishon. Here too, we have a disagreement, but here now it's in the rishon. Yesh b'farshim. Continue, please. Each opinion that we just discussed has its own siu. Really? Which is Achshav Kirvano Amakom Lo. Right? So that's one thing. So just this last paragraph that you just read, reiterating what we said before, is that the Maila of Avodim Hayinu is that it's fulfilling the Doraisa. How do I know that Mitzchilo of the Avodah Zarah can't fulfill a Doraisa? Sure. Once Moshe died, you didn't know what the rice is. Right? So you can't fulfill the rice with something that's there. I mean, we can quibble about that. But I want to fulfill the rice with Torah Pesukim. So that's one thing. But Mitzchilo of the Zohar is earlier, so maybe we should start with that. So okay, that's the discussion. Okay, so Mitzchilo of the Zohar has its own shvach. Because if we went after the Zohar, now I want to talk about its opposite, which is Each one has its own contrast. And the drasha at Bikur. Now you see why. We have plenty of good drushas in the Tanchuma and Bereshis Rabba. I'm sorry, Shmos Rabba. Although, this is almost a class fashion. Tanchuma, Shmos, and Shmos Rabba are after the addition of Abba. Okay, those are very late. In the form it has now. But many, so, what can I say? Bereshis Rabba and Vayikra Rabba are as old as the Haggadah. But Shmos Rabba is not. My question is, why couldn't we just darshan some something in Shmos? Why do we have to darshan Dvarim? Arvio de Arvi is what you said when you put down the Bikur. That's precisely the point. We want the Shevach to not only refer to Yitzias Mitzrayim, but entry into the land. I have land! My land! And here are the fruits from that land. And now let's darshan. That's why when we go back, when he's bringing his first fruits to the Hodah of getting to this day, vis-a-vis where I came from. Okay. Right. Yesh mekorshim asiu b'shvach.
Shuv b'shvach oshav b'shvach ol ki brachas asher ba'alim yivah from the same Mitzrayim.
Oh, that's done. So now we're talking. Now we're seeing different. Matzilim nine means we start with our nine. When the same in b'shvach, we end up with Hashem's shevach. It's not parallel, but it works. Yesh mekorshim.
Asher shal b'nayim yivu.
Okay. When Moshe said to Hashem, who am I to go to Paro and who are Bnei Yisrael that I should take Bnei Yisrael in return? So Hashem said that the answer was a little cryptic. Hashem's answer was, I have sent you, and you will serve me at this very mountain after I take you out of Egypt. In other words, there's a toughness to this. It's not just, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. No, it's a song. It's a popular song. From the 70s, 60s maybe. So, in other words, you want to go, if you want to go from Avodim from Paro, you're not going to absolute freedom and then you're on your own. No. You're turning into Avodim of Hashem afterwards. So if that's how it goes, then I can say that the Shevach of Avodim HaYinu, the Paro of Mitzrayim, must plug into Torah. Right? Avodim HaYinu, the Paro of Mitzrayim, it must plug into, you're still Avodim to a different system. And that's the ultimate freedom. That's why Chazal can say something which, on the face of it, to someone who's not initiated, will sound absurd. Emecha ben chori ala ha'osei b'Torah. Why? Getting free of na'osei b'Torah. So the Mefarshim, that Gemara explained nothing. Someone who's, what's a mission of Pergamos, na'osei b'Torah is someone who will not allow himself to become a slave to anything ever again. Not to gambling, not to alcohol, not to pornography, not to anything. Because I am in charge. I learned Mishlei, I learned Musar, I learned, and I'm in charge. That's what it means to be an Osei B'Torah. You're going to be a Ben Chori. You're not enslaved to anything. Right? That's why he wants to say this. It's a nice Chiddush that the contrast to Avodim HaYinu is Baruch HaMachon and Baruch Hu, which shows up right afterwards. I would just say most Mefarshim say those few words are doing there. It's a very strange thing. It's a nice song. It's a nice chance to sing another song. But the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is actually represents the four sons, the four statements, four baruchs. Right? And it's also, most Mefarshim say it's a quasi Birchas HaTorah. That what we're about to do with the Seder fulfills not only Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's Talmud Torah. It's Torah. It's a Birchas Torah on this stuff. Now, you found one or two Mefarshim that say, well, what people would do is they would take a little nap so that they could stay awake. They could stay awake for the whole night until Sipur, until very late at night. So if you took a nap, you have to say Birchas HaTorah, because his learning is part of this. So this is like the quasi Birchas HaTorah. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. It's a little shy, but actually I found a lot of Rishonim even that say that the Baruch HaMakom is like a reminder that if you fell asleep, you have to say Birchas HaTorah. Okay, so what we do we conclude with praise. Roman numeral 3 is very simple, is that the Messiah of B'Shevach must correspond to your Shita of the Matchil and B'Gnai. Okay? Is that clear? Alright? So, that's all we're going to do on this. We're going to move to number 4, which is Simanei HaSeder. Not all Haggadahs even have these. But at our Seder, we start by singing Kadesh Ruchatz. Right? You familiar with that?
Yeah.
Do you start with that? You start with Kadesh Ruchatz?
You didn't have to start with that?
No, it's not. But most Haggadahs don't even have it in the beginning. Right?
Yeah, we'll start.
Okay, you start?
Oh yeah.
My kids have it. It's all use it. It's amazing. It gets them so into it. So we meet. Like I said, we'll come over. Tell me that. Next Shabbos maybe? A week from this kind of Shabbos? You come? Let me know you come. I'll give it. Can you?
Next Shabbos, no way. I can't. This whole entire semester, I'm really busy. This whole entire semester, because I'm going to have to study for the MCAT.
When are you taking the MCAT?
June 2nd.
Wow. Alright. It's your loss. No, you can't take it on the Shabbos. I'm not allowed to study while you're not even kibbutz.
I got me in my room locked and isolated from everything to read.
Okay. Alright. Good luck. Alright. Next week?
No,
what? Oh, cool. Alright, I'd like to get for that. Let me know if you have time. All right, so I want to show you my Haggadah collection. When the kids were really young, we used to have these. You ever see the pop-up Haggadahs? You know, when you open the page, you know, it pops up. You can pull these little things, and then you have an Egyptian meeting in Hebrew, or you pull the thing, and then you pull another thing, and Moshe comes in and knocks down the Egyptian. So, you have to be creative with the kids.
That was, so, you guys have that, that's in Haggadah, like they have?
Yeah. Each page either has pop-ups, or you pull out some things, and you have people baking matzah. What's interesting in this pop-up Haggadah is that all the faces of Israelites are bird faces. It's famous bird Haggadah.
Yeah.
Egyptians are a people, but all the Israelites are birds. They didn't want it. They, you know, they were against having depictions. I don't know why the depiction of Egyptians is okay, but Israelites not.
I think it's because they were against man on man crime.
Animal. Okay. All right. So the Simane HaSeder is. I just also wanted to point out to you that there are 15. There are 15 Simane. This was not done by accident. All right. 15 Malos Dayenu. 15 steps leading into the Shahar Nicanor. 15. Steps from the new moon to the full moon, back to the new moon, 15 generations from Avram to Shlomo, building the Beis Hamikdash, 15 from Shlomo to Tzidkiyahu, destroying the Beis Hamikdash. It's something there. The 15 is a transitionary stage, right? And it's really such an awful, as bad as Moshe holding up his hands with his Rolex in the movie Ten Commandments. Really, he's wearing. They did not stop the scene. The whole scene is with his watch. Famous, faux pas. But when Matas Bechoros is going down, there's a sliver of a moon in the sky. Ah, come on. Who didn't catch that?
Which type of
full moon? Which?
The
movie The Ten Commandments.
That was the exact
one. Well, that's back in the 50s. That's something to know. So, how do you have that? How did someone not pick that up? The moon was full when we left Mitzrayim. The 15th. So, finally, the minute that remains, Shimshon Fulher says something really clear in Parshas Emor. He says that the size of the moon on our holidays is indicative of the relationship between Hashem and his people in the nature of what that holiday represents. So, when the relationship is fully on the side of God doing for us, where we just sit back and have that thing done, like being saved in the elements in the desert and being redeemed from Egypt. Of course, we physically walked out, but you know, this is pretty much from Hashem to us, one-sided situation. The moon is going to be full. Hashem's hashkacha upon us is full and complete. Shavuot says the moon is practically half full because the Torah is a parsha. Taken from Shemayim, I'm giving it to you. Now it's Lova Shemayim. Now you have to work on it and darshan it and observe it in your setting. I may even call out from heaven twice above Metzia alone how this is correct, but you have to decide what's correct. And then Rosh Hashanah, the moon is totally disappeared from the sky as a sign of you having to return to me. Because you've one way or another turned away. Okay, so in Yom Kippur, I don't know if you discuss it. Yom Kippur is like a way back. You're coming back. You know why it's 2/3 full? I'm not sure if he says anything on that. But the full moon on Pesach is this sign of the simanim of the 15, number 15. It's a transitionary stage. Another thing is interesting, it just dawned on me that Bo is the 15th Parsha of the Torah. The Parsha where we leave Mitzrayim is the 15th Parsha. But that's correct because the way we lay this was different in Israel. They lay in a different configuration. But just to make it cute, Bo is the 15th. The 15th Parsha. Alright. Okay, but what Kasher shows Kedarko Bakodesh on the page where it says 77, this is number 16, he shows how all these different Haggadahs throughout the years have had different configurations of what we're doing, right? All right, some have 15, some have 18, some have 12. Some, all right? Okay. All right, that will close us for today, which puts us to next class, which is 4 or 5 cups. Right, 4 or 5 cups. This is what I want. This is the order that I want to do.